Afghanistan's economy, the wary U.S. consumer, and how to stick $20 bills into your Zoom. I'm David Brancaccio. It's Afghanistan's first day in 20 years without a U.S.-led international military presence. Taliban forces insist they want a good relationship with the world, but many Afghans are deeply concerned about the future, given the Taliban's repressive history. The economy is just one set of challenges there. Inflation is rising in Afghanistan. Some salaries haven't been paid. Cash is in short supply, and banks there remain closed, despite promises to reopen. Here's the BBC's Sekunder Kermani in Kabul today.
Certainly a number of cash machines have reopened, but you're seeing huge queues outside them of hundreds of people. One man telling me he was worried about being able to put enough food on the table for his children. Other problems include the fact that civil servants here in Afghanistan haven't been paid for a number of months. That predates the Taliban's takeover, but just speaks to the kind of sense of chaos that there's been in the country. So I was at a bus stand in Kabul yesterday evening, and employees there were telling me that they had seen a doubling or quadrupling of people heading towards the borders with Pakistan and Iran. Most of them didn't have visas. They're hoping to use people smugglers to cross over. Most of them actually citing economic reasons as the primary motive for leaving Afghanistan.
Sekunder Kermani in Kabul speaking to Marketplace this morning. Markets about 20 minutes into the trading day, the S&P 500, the NASDAQ Composite Index, and the Dow Jones Industrial Average are all down in the 0.1% range, minus 44 points from the Dow. Have you made a decision in the last month not to go to a venue or a restaurant thinking, Delta variant, not worth it? Well, that calculation figures into consumer confidence, with a number of readings on that falling late this summer. The latest take comes later this morning from the business organization called the Conference Board. Here's Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman.
A late summer of surging COVID cases, renewed mask mandates, indoor dining, and outdoor gathering restrictions have left many Americans
confused and buffeted and not cheerful is a pretty good way to describe American consumers.
Chris Jackson at polling firm Ipsos says consumers are pulling back somewhat on travel, dining out, socializing. And Richard Curtin at the University of Michigan says with a lot of prices rising, many consumers feel
living standards have been eroded. This is very common among those 65 or older, those who have a high school education or less,
and the lowest income earners. Chris Jackson says one bright spot is that people who are working feel fairly optimistic about their job status.
We're not seeing large numbers of people reporting that they're losing their jobs.
And he says as long as that continues, consumer spending is unlikely to fall hard the way it did at the beginning of the pandemic. I'm Mitchell Hartman for Marketplace.
Shares of the trade stocks for free on your phone platform Robinhood fell nearly 7% yesterday, and it's not yet recovered this morning, the stock, after a double whammy. First, a big name in online money, PayPal, suggested it might offer a competing service. Plus, America's top securities industry regulator told Barron's magazine he thought Robinhood's business model is built on a conflict of interest. Robinhood doesn't charge customers for trading, but it does charge wholesale stock and options brokers for sending orders to them. My jazz buddy from the band New York Voices did a bunch of Zoom concerts in the last pandemic year, but his tip jar had to run through completely separate platforms, Venmo or PayPal. But soon Zoomers will be able to make charitable donations directly through Zoom. The video conferencing platform announced the partnerships with the fundraising firm Pledge, along with their quarterly profits, losses, and sales yesterday. With some workers going back to the office in person, maybe less Zoom, teleconference companies are trying to offer new features to stay competitive. Marketplace's Caroline Champlin has more.
Zoom's new donation option is meant to be part of a fundraising event, almost like a gala on screen, says James Citron, CEO of the fundraising platform Pledge.
Once someone donates, they actually get the virtual background showing that they've donated, and it creates this kind of social pressure and collective effort.
How much this works depends on who's on the call, but Citron says Zoom was interested anyway. He says the company expanded fast and people wanted to see more from it.
Zoom realized that they can't build all the innovations in-house.
And Zoom's basic product, just video conferencing for meetings, isn't enough anymore, says Carnegie Mellon business professor Anita Woolley. Her research found that video isn't even helpful a lot of the time.
Collaborators are actually slightly more collectively intelligent on average when they are collaborating via audio only.
That's a challenge some conferencing apps are tackling by offering new features, like whiteboards or even gamified virtual offices. Ann Woolley says there's increasing burnout on the social side of video calls.
At first, at the beginning of the pandemic, people thought it was very novel to get onto Zoom with their friends. And now it's a little like, oh God, not Zoom.
This is partly why Zoom can't depend on its existing pandemic customers, says Gartner analyst Mike Fashani.
In order for them to continue to grow, they got to start getting into additional market segments where they haven't been sort of relevant before.
Fashani says on the recreational side, Zoom's working on virtual events with admission paid through the app, like concerts and yoga classes. And he says employers are reevaluating their digital infrastructure as they consider indefinite remote work plans. How much to use Zoom? What about Microsoft Teams?
Can they get by with just one, or do they need both? And if so, how much of which?
Fashani says we can't expect too many new Zoom users. What matters is if new offerings can keep existing ones there. I'm Caroline Champlin for Marketplace.
Our producers are Rose Conlon, Meredith Gerritsen, Stephen Ryan, Alex Schroeder, Daniel Shin, and Erica Soderstrom. I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.